In the name of Jesus, amen. Please be seated. The readings appointed for today ask us this question: how do you know that a prophet has been among you? In the Old Testament reading, the Lord is commissioning and sending Ezekiel as a prophet. He's sending Ezekiel to the rebellious house of Israel, who at that moment was in captivity in the city of Babylon. Now, if you've ever read the book of Ezekiel, you know that some of the ways that Ezekiel prophesied seemed rather strange. Already in chapter 4, the Lord commanded Ezekiel to lay on his side for 390 days. And during that time, he was supposed to take a stone and draw or inscribe the city of Jerusalem on the stone. He was commanded to lay on his side for 390 days to represent the total number of years that the house of Israel would be in slavery. The Lord even encouraged or instructed Ezekiel to cook his food over dung. And at first he told Ezekiel, cook it over human dung. And Ezekiel said, Lord, I can't bear to do that. So he was allowed to cook it over animal dung. When Ezekiel's wife died, the Lord told him, do not mourn. Now, to most people, seeing Ezekiel had to be pretty strange. They might have even thought he was insane. Imagine if someone did this in Knoxville today. You would all think he had some sort of mental problem. Or consider St. Paul. St. Paul seemed like an odd man to many people too. He was a tent maker. His body had scars from being beaten and imprisoned. I'm sure many people thought he was a troublemaker to the government. He couldn't speak very well in public. That's why he usually had someone else with him who spoke for St. Paul, because he couldn't speak. Maybe he stuttered, maybe he was afraid. We don't really know, but he didn't speak well in public. The text says that he had a thorn in his side to keep him humble. Some people say that was a physical affliction that made him look odd or strange to people. We don't really know what his thorn in the side was, although lots of people have theories about it. But what the text tells us, he had this thorn to keep him humble. And finally, we hear in the gospel reading about a prophet who has no honor in his hometown. Jesus came to his hometown of Nazareth to teach in the synagogue. And instead of a warm welcome, the people did not believe. The text says he couldn't even do any miracles because people didn't believe. You see, faith receives the gifts from God, and the people had no faith to receive the gifts of miracles and healings from Jesus. In all these cases, the prophet did not meet the expectations of the people. So how do you know if you've encountered a prophet? I suspect in our world today, it wasn't much different in the past either. A prophet might have been measured by a success. All these preachers who have television shows have a huge audience, big buildings, football stadiums, attractive spouses and children, and in many cases, a lot of money. I remember driving in Houston one time and I saw what looked like a football stadium, except it was a church that you often see on television. Surely that's a prophet, right? You may think that a televangelist doesn't impress you very much since you're all here in First Lutheran, but there's a lot of people who find that message uplifting. They want to be like that TV preacher. They find that his 10 steps to having a good life is pretty helpful to them. Makes them feel like they can accomplish something. And you see, this isn't limited to people in America. In fact, it's probably worse in Africa. In West Africa, you see all these billboards of the preacher. He's dressed in robes a lot nicer than mine. And he has huge stadiums, fancy cars, a nice house. And he tells the people, if you are truly being blessed by God, you'll have wealth, riches, and honor. And guess what? If you don't have those things, you're not really serving God. And then he'll tell you the 10 or 15 things that you need to do in order to obtain those riches and wealth, or rather, you're serving God. You see, as much as society and technology has changed, people really haven't changed very much from the beginning until now. People are generally attracted to successful people, people who have money and power. In contrast, Jesus didn't look all that attractive. We know from the prophet, there was nothing that would draw people's attention to him. When the people of Nazareth heard Jesus speaking in the synagogue, they said, "Is not this the carpenter?" He didn't even have a great career. The people of Nazareth despised Jesus because they knew him. And although they heard his words, because he appeared ordinary and familiar, they rejected him. You see, ordinary things often hide the extraordinary. One time I was on a trip to West Africa, and there was going to be a huge church service that morning, probably 5,000 or 10,000 people in church. And we left our hotel, and the local bishop, the bishop was with us, and we're driving to church. And while we're driving to church on these dirt roads, all of a sudden we heard this loud pop. The tire exploded on the car. The bishop gets out of his car, and he's wearing a crucifix around his neck, and he bends down, and he looks at the tire, and he says, "Satan popped the tire." Now, being a good, well-educated Westerner, I bent down to the tire myself to look at it, and I said, "Dear Bishop, I see a nail." Now, I thought about that for a moment and realized the bishop was absolutely correct. I don't know about you, and maybe I shouldn't admit this while preaching to you, but if my tire goes flat on the side of the highway, the first words out of my mouth are probably nothing I could repeat here. Now, what does the second commandment say? You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not curse, swear, lie, or deceive by his name, but call upon it in every trouble. Pray, praise, and give thanks. Now, if the tire pops on your car or something else happens, and the first words out of your mouth are not prayer, praise, and thanks to God, you can be assured that the devil is behind it. The devil desires nothing more than to get you to curse God's name. And he uses all sorts of little things in our lives to make us do that, maybe even every day. And you see, after the bishop said the devil made the tire pop, I understood he was absolutely right. Not only our own frustration and maybe our own personal sin, but thousands of people had traveled to this church, some of them many hours. And if we were delayed or we didn't show up, then some of these people would leave and not stay for the service. The devil's goal was to stop people from hearing the word of God. And if he could do it by popping a tire, how easy for him. You see, in our world today, where we look for a scientific answer, where we look for a mechanical or an engineering solution, we see a nail in the tire, rather than the cause that the devil wanted us to curse God's name. And that's when I realized the bishop was absolutely right. I had seen a prophet that day, not because he educated me on the works of the devil, but because he preached repentance. Repent for your sins. Now, we've celebrated the 500th anniversary of the Reformation last year, and Martin Luther understood this reality that we, 500 years later, have forgotten. One time, Martin Luther said to a man when the wheel on his cart fell off, "You need to thank and praise God for because he saved you from the devil's attempt to murder you." We don't realize these often little innocent accidents. Every time we're preserved, that's the work of God. Unbelief affects us all, and the devil is not bothered one bit if we don't believe in him. He just wants us to stop believing in the Word of God. Now, you know there has been a prophet among you when he calls you to repentance. What did Ezekiel preach throughout the entire book of Ezekiel? Repent. What did the disciples preach when Jesus sent them out two by two at the end of the gospel lesson? It says they preached repentance. What did Jesus preach in Nazareth that caused the great offense? Repent. You see, no one wants to be told to repent. You might want to hear someone else be told to repent, but you don't want to hear about yourself. Now, on October 31st, 1517, Martin Luther posted the 95 Theses on the castle door in Wittenberg. Now, I would venture to guess that none of you can have them memorized and can tell me what the 95 Theses are. And that's actually for good reason. They're not that important to us today, with one exception. The first thesis of the 95 Theses says, when our Lord and Master Jesus Christ said, repent, he willed the entire life of believers to be one of repentance. Our entire lives should be one of repentance. And when people fail to repent, and when people are not thankful for the gospel and for the gifts of God, the Lord takes them away. He moves his gospel, and he moves his church to another land. And you can see this happen all over throughout world history. And we are witnesses to this at this moment, as we see Christianity move from the West, from Europe and North America, to places like Africa. You know, in Wittenberg, Germany, where Martin Luther preached, he preached thousands, 1,200, 1,500 sermons in Wittenberg. Where he preached, where he wrote, where he taught, only about 11% of the people are Christians today. There's hardly any Christians there at all. If you go to a place like Sweden, where they claim to have 6,000 Christians or 6,000 Lutherans, almost no one is in the church. The Archbishop of Sweden has even said, we need to take the cross down so we don't offend people and we don't offend Muslims who use our building after our service. That is the state of Christianity in Europe. And this is due to God's judgment because people rejected the gospel, they failed to repent, and now he takes that and moves it away. He takes it like a passing rain shower and causes it to rain someplace else. Meanwhile, the churches in Africa are growing rapidly. Three of the largest Lutheran churches in the world, Madagascar, Tanzania, and Ethiopia, have about 25 million Lutherans in them. And in these churches, there's the Lutheran Church in Tanzania. In one city, they have several hundred Lutheran congregations, but 50 of them worship more than 10,000 people on a Sunday. That happens every single Sunday there. I was in a congregation in Madagascar a couple of months ago, And their first church service is at 6 a.m. It goes from 6 to 9. And that's for the people who have to work on Sunday. So they come at 6 a.m. at sunrise to church, and then they leave and go to work. Their second service is 9 to noon. Their third service is noon to 3, and their last service is 3 to 6. And in the course of the day, they communed about 7,500 people received communion, and about 12,000 worshiped. That happens in these places every single Sunday, and not just in one place. It's not like the church in Houston where they may gather a few thousand, but all the rest of the churches only have a few hundred or less. This happens throughout all their churches every Sunday. You see, without repentance comes the judgment of God. And after we have repented of our own sins, we can pray like Job did, that the Lord have mercy on those around him. We should thank the Lord that we have the freedom to speak his truth in our nation. You might have seen it in the newspaper, but just a few weeks ago, a man in Canada was arrested and sentenced to jail because he spoke against same-sex marriage. If that can happen in Canada, how long before it could happen here? The freedom to speak God's word, both in our church and in our community, is a gift from God, and we should not take that for granted. Examine yourself according to the Ten Commandments. Think about the things that are happening in our country and in our churches, and repent. The collect that we prayed this morning says, "The Lord shows his power, chiefly by displaying mercy." Our God shows his power by forgiving our sins. We have such a merciful God that he sent his only Son to die for us. Imagine that. Our sin is so great before God that God's Son had to bear our sins, take our punishment, so that we could be forgiven. Our Lord Jesus, during his earthly ministry, did the task of an ordinary carpenter. He made yokes, he made plows, and now he tells you, "Come to me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus has taken all of your burdens upon himself. He promises to make them light. And rather than taking us away from the ordinary day-to-day routine that we have, our Lord Jesus chooses to come to us in earthly things. And you see, that's the scandal of Jesus. That's why they rejected him in Nazareth. They said, "Isn't he just the carpenter? Isn't he just Mary's son?" They could not see that he was the Son of God hidden in the flesh. And just because we cannot see it with our eyes does not mean it's not real. We cannot escape time and space, and Jesus doesn't make us escape time and space to find God. Rather, Jesus comes to us right where we're at, just like he did in Nazareth. He comes as a lowly carpenter. Jesus comes to us right where we're at. He comes to us in the muck and mire of our lives. He comes to us in the midst of our sin. Whatever mess we find ourselves in, Jesus comes to us. He takes our sin upon us, and now he comes to us in his word. In ordinary words, we hear the words of Jesus. In the bread and wine of Holy Communion, Jesus comes and gives us his holy body and blood. In water, ordinary water of baptism, he gives us his Holy Spirit and forgives us our sins. He comes to us just as he came to Nazareth, and he gives us his word of forgiveness. You see, your Lord Jesus is right where he promised to be, right where his word is preached, right where his forgiving gifts are given out. This may not be exciting as a football stadium full of people, but you have the promise and the certainty of where your Lord is at. Do not take offense like the people of Nazareth, because your Lord comes to you in common and hidden ways. Believe his word, repent, trust his promise of forgiveness. Take comfort knowing that Jesus is right there with you wherever you're at. The scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing, for your Lord has come among you to bring you forgiveness. You have seen the prophet Jesus because you have heard his word. Go in peace. Amen. Please rise for the Nicene Creed.